Good morning. We appreciate so much you being here today. We hope and pray that our time together is beneficial to you. If you're visiting, we encourage you to come back. We'd love to have you come back and visit with us again. If you're looking for a church home, please consider the work here. We would love to have you come and join hands with us. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 25, the passage read just a moment ago, the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. The Bible tells us that Jesus spent about 3 years in his personal and public ministry. Really, Jesus summed up, I think, his work in Luke 19:10 when he said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Jesus had a very abbreviated period of time to accomplish his task on earth. You remember he said in John chapter 9, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work." Death would soon come to the Son of God. In light of that, he had to do everything within his power to accomplish the tremendous task that lay before him. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is nearing the end of his public ministry. He pictures the great and final day. This is not the first time in the ministry of Jesus that he's talked about his return after ascending to heaven. In Matthew chapter 25, we really have a picture of Jesus coming for his people. The title of our lesson today, "Are You Ready for the King to Come?" I want to begin our study by first and foremost calling attention to the coming of the King. Now, in this context, beginning in verse 31, Jesus said that the Son of Man will come in His glory. And then listen to what He said, "with all the holy angels." Can you imagine when the Lord Jesus Christ burst upon the scene? The heavens are filled with an innumerable host of angelic beings. Well, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. Now, I can read about an angel by the name of Gabriel. You can go back and look at the work of Gabriel in the book of Daniel. In Luke chapter 1, it was Gabriel who was said to have stood in the presence of God informing Zacharias that he and Elizabeth would have a son, the forerunner to the Christ, John the Baptist. So we have an account of a great host of angelic beings, Gabriel being identified by name. In the book of Jude, we read about the archangel, Michael. Now, Paul said the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Can you imagine the shout that will be heard around the world? The voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead will be awakened and will rise from the dead. And according to Jesus, it will be on that occasion that he will sit upon his throne. Before him, he said, all nations will be gathered. He'll begin to separate them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. We'll all be there one day in the presence of the second member of the Godhead, the Christ, the one that we have read about time and again throughout our time here on planet Earth. The one that we celebrate each and every first day of the week as we partake of his death on Calvary. Reminding ourselves of the body that was given in our stead, the blood that was shed so that we might enjoy the forgiveness of our sins. We sing about Jesus. We sang just a moment ago, "We'll work till Jesus comes." We know the Lord's coming. You remember in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus compared his coming to the flood that occurred during the days of Noah. He said, in those days, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, people just going about their daily activities. The Lord will then burst upon the scene. The dead will be raised, and we will stand at the judgment bar of Almighty God. Now, John said in the long ago, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. We will be among that number of people. As the Apostle Paul said, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall give an account to God. We'll all be there. We will all bow in the presence of the great I Am. And he'll begin, as he said in our context today, we will be divided as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be on the right hand, the goats on the left. We might ask the question, will you be numbered among the sheep or the goats? Will you be numbered among the saved or the lost? The Lord Jesus will come. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus said, watch. Why? Because you don't know when he's coming. You remember Jesus said of that day and hour, knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he is coming. Might come in my lifetime, might come in your lifetime. We just don't know. The watchword, however, is to simply watch. When Peter talked about the second coming of Christ, Peter said he'll come as a thief in the night. The heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works therein will be burned up. Everything seen with the visible eye will be gone, destroyed by fire. Now, Peter said, in light of this great event, he asked this question, what manner of persons ought you to be in all godliness and holy conduct? Powerful question, isn't it? So, number one, there is the coming of the King. But then, secondly, the commendation by the King. Now, the goal of every child of God is to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus said that he will turn to those on the right hand and say to them, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I think it's important for us to understand that in our text today, Jesus is talking about people that have identified as his disciples. That is, they are his followers. Now, back in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus had already talked about the prerequisite to becoming one of his disciples. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We're talking about people that have submitted to the new birth. They have been baptized into Christ, made recipients of the blood of Christ, and they are a part of the body of Christ. Jesus is speaking to those on the right hand, numbered among the faithful. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? If you haven't been baptized into Christ, then you haven't contacted the blood of Jesus. And John said unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The blood of Christ is what remedies a soul that's been tainted by sin. Ezekiel said in the long ago, the soul that sins shall surely die. Paul would say, the wages of sin is death, the gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is talking to those who have followed him faithfully, numbered among the saved. And here are people that, as saved members of his body, have spent their lives serving Him. There is more to Christianity than merely coming together on the first day of the week. Now, please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe worship to God is a vital part of Christianity. Jesus in John chapter 4, when He had that extended discussion with the woman at Jacob's well, that Samaritan woman, you remember Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The Lord expects us to worship Him, to celebrate His death each and every first day of the week through partaking of the Lord's Supper. But there is more to Christianity than merely coming to worship services on Sunday. And that's what Jesus is saying here. There's more to discipleship than just coming together on the first day of the week, spending time with fellow disciples, singing praise, being instructed from His Word, partaking of the Lord's Supper. So Jesus said, I'll say to those on the right hand, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. He said, I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. He said, sick and you visited me. In prison and you came to me. And those on the right hand will then say to Jesus, Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you something to eat? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and take you in? Or sick and in prison and minister to you? And Jesus said that He will then respond, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these least of My disciples, you did it unto Me. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying that as one of My disciples, you spent your life serving other people. Now, are we not to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? Wasn't it said of Jesus in Acts chapter 10 and about verse 38 that He went about doing good? And didn't the Apostle Paul say, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, and Paul said, taking the form of a servant. No one has forced us to become a servant of the Lord. We made that decision. When we made the decision to come to Christ, number one, we decided that we would deny self. Number two, that we would die to sin. Because Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. In Ephesians chapter 2, in about verse 10, Paul said that we have, listen to him, been created in Christ Jesus. For what reason? He said, we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What he's saying is that God has saved us from sin so that we might serve Him in His kingdom. The kingdom of God is compared to a vineyard where people work, they labor. You remember in Matthew chapter 20 when Jesus asked the question on one occasion, why do you stand here idle all day? Is there something for Me to do in the kingdom? Yes. Matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 6, Paul said one of the things that we can do, we can reach out and restore a fallen brother, a sister in Christ. As he said, considering ourselves, lest we also fall victim to sin. In verse 2, Paul would say, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. In chapter 6, verse 10, let us, as we have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Now you think about what Jesus is saying here, that there is something for everyone to do in the kingdom. You know, the Lord doesn't expect me to do something that I do not have the ability to do. In Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus pictures that business owner traveling to a far country, you remember when he called his stewards before him, the Bible says that he delivered to each of those stewards according to his own ability. I don't know what all of your abilities are in life, but I know this, whatever abilities you have ought to be used to the glory of God. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." James talks about practical Christianity. And James said, true religion before God and the fatherless is this. He said, number one, we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Secondly, he said, we are to visit, render aid to whom? To the orphans and to the widows. Now again, it might be something as small as taking some food to someone that needs a meal. Something as small as providing clothing to someone who lacks adequate clothing. To simply visit someone in their time of need. As Paul said, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. You ever sat down and tried to console someone that was hurting? Because of the complexities of life, because of the problems that they have encountered in life. You ever tried to mourn with someone, weep with them because of the loss of a loved one? Sure, we all have. What Jesus is saying is, this is what it means to be one of my disciples. So on the one hand, you have the commendation by the king. Now the king's coming. But then there is the condemnation by the king. Now Jesus said that he'll turn to those on the left hand. And he'll say to them, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now I know that we live in a culture today but in many respects does not want to hear about the subject of hell. Now, I understand that. I don't relish talking about hell. But Jesus had more to say about the subject of hell than any other person in the New Testament, which says to us that we have to talk about it. We have to think about it. Now, when Jesus said that he will turn to those on the left and say to them, depart from me, you cursed. Look at the contrast. Those on the right hand are said to be blessed. Those on the left hand are cursed. Now Jesus makes an interesting point here. And that is, hell was not prepared for you nor for me. No, Jesus said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But when people do not measure up as saints and do not live as his disciples, then sadly, they'll stand before Almighty God and they will hear those fateful words, depart from me, you cursed. And Jesus said, he'll say to those on the left, I was hungry and you didn't give me food. Thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. He said, I was naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. And they'll ask the question, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger? When did we see you naked? Lord, when did we see you sick and in prison? Jesus said he'll say to them, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these least of my brethren, you did it not to me. I want to just call your attention to a couple of passages of Scripture that ought to help us think about our responsibilities in the kingdom. And I want to begin by going back to the book of Titus for a minute. In Titus chapter 2 in verse 7, Paul said that we are to show ourselves as a pattern of good works. And the idea is that we exemplify in our lives working people. That is, we demonstrate before the world what it means to labor for Him. In Titus chapter 2 verse 14, Paul said that we are to be zealous for good works. In chapter 3, verse 1, Paul would say, I want you to be ready unto every good work. Chapter 3, verse 8, I want you to be careful to maintain good works. Is there a theme there? Yes. So what about saints who fail to serve, who aren't laboring and serving in the kingdom of God? What about them? Well, what about them? Didn't Jesus ask the question, why do you stand here idle all day? You remember in James chapter 2, James talks about the importance of faith, but not faith only, but faith coupled with works. What kind of works? Good works. You remember he posed the question about a brother or sister coming to one of us who are his disciples. He said they're destitute of daily food. The response given is, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. In other words, you don't do anything to help them. He said, thus, faith, if it does not have works, is dead. How do you demonstrate your Christianity? By how you live. How do you demonstrate that you are a follower of Jesus? By serving in the kingdom of God. Why? Because we've been created to serve in His kingdom. Let's just look at Revelation chapter 3 for a minute. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus, of course, is examining the seven churches of Asia. In chapter 3, He speaks to the church at Sardis. They had a glowing reputation in the community. He said, you have a name that you're alive. I don't want you to listen to what he said, but you are dead. You know, sometimes what we think and what the Lord thinks are two different things. We may think that we're alive and well and all is good. That's what they thought. If you had asked them, if you had asked somebody in the community, what about that church at Sardis? They would have said, boy, that's a fine church. Good people. Well, here's what the Lord said. The Lord said, you've got that reputation, but I want you to know, friend, you are dead. In chapter 3, Jesus examines the church at Laodicea. You know, the Lord didn't have one good thing to say about the Laodiceans. Not one. You know, you would think, if you were to just examine a group of people, that surely you could find one verifiable trait that's worthwhile. The Lord couldn't find not one single trait. He said, you're not hot. You're not cold. No, you're lukewarm. You remember what they thought? They had the idea that they were rich and increased with goods and didn't need anything. And Jesus said, let me tell you what, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know what he's saying? You're not hot, you're not cold, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Now that's what Jesus is talking about here. When the Lord turns to those on the left hand, he's going to be talking to His disciples. He's going to be talking to folks that fill a pew. Oh, they come every Sunday. They may not come back Sunday afternoon, but they're here Sunday morning. They may come to Bible class. They might even attend Sunday night services or Wednesday night. But beyond the four walls of a church building, they do not do anything. Not a single thing. So what about you? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? What are you doing to advance the cause of Christ in this community? Look, when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, He wasn't just talking to me. He wasn't just talking to the elders. No, He's talking to every single one of us who are here today. That responsibility rests upon all of us. The world is lost and dying and going to a devil's hell. And we just sit back and let it go. What are you doing to share Christ in this community? What are you doing to advance the cause of Christ in this community? What are you doing to make Olive Branch Church of Christ a more viable, working congregation? Give me three things that you're doing that are making a difference in this community besides just coming to worship. You know, I think in some ways, we as members of the church have become professional worshipers. I mean, because that's where we think our responsibility begins and ends. Show up on Sunday. Let me tell you what, there are going to be a lot of folks in the body of Christ. They're going to be lost in a devil's hell with his angels because they didn't do a single thing for the cause. So I want to ask you, what are you doing? Somebody may say, well, that's awfully harsh. Well, look, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get you to see that Christianity involves more than just coming on the first day of the week. And there are some folks we need to grab by the shirt collar and shake some sense into them and let them know you are not on the right road. Is that you? Let me tell you what, if you are lost and you go to hell, I want you to remember today. I want you to remember that you heard that you are supposed to be active in the kingdom of God. And you said, not for me. In 1,000,000,000 years from now, times 1,000,000,000 years from now, you'll still be thinking about, I should have been busy in the kingdom. I should have been doing something. I could have served the Lord faithfully all the days of my life, but you know what? I'm just too self-centered. It's all about me. It might be all about you, but I can tell you what, Jesus said, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Lord, who are you talking about? I'm talking about my people. I'm talking about people that said they were my disciples. I'm talking about people that should have known better, that should have been laboring and serving in the kingdom of God, but they didn't. But then the righteous to eternal life. When the King comes, when Jesus sits upon that throne of glory one day, and all of those majestic angels come with Him, and you stand before the Lord, what's He going to say to you? In the parable that the Lord had just spoken prior to the text that we're looking at, He said that He would say to those who have been responsible stewards, well done, good and faithful servant. But to the steward that did nothing, He said, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Now listen to Him. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what that means? The picture is that of intense pain. Here's somebody literally grinding his or her teeth I say literally. The picture is the pain is overwhelming. You know what it means to hurt? You ever hurt so badly you find yourself grinding your teeth? The old cowboys used to take a piece of stick and put it in their mouth and bite down on it. That's what Jesus is saying here. So what I want to encourage us to do is to be faithful, to live for the Lord. You know, the Hebrew writer said that God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. If you love the Lord and you love His kingdom, you know what? Being active in the body, it's just a natural thing you do. I mean, because we've been saved to do what? To serve. Are you serving the Lord faithfully? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to come to Christ. Jesus will one day come. The dead will be raised. We'll stand before Him on that great and final day. John said the books are going to be opened. That's the Word of God. Another book's going to be opened called the Book of Life. The dead are going to be judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So what about you? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, here's what you need to do. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of all of your sins, just like they were commanded to do on Pentecost Day. Be buried with Christ in baptism. Rise to walk in newness of life. Be faithful unto death. As Paul said, be steadfast, immovable. Listen to him. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the goal. So we serve the Lord so that one day we can be with the Lord in eternity. Whatever your need may be, would you come as we stand and sing?